Well, it's great to be with you. It's always great to be with you. It's lovely to be with you today. Nice to preach to a congregation. Last time I was here, I was, of course, preaching to about three people and the rest of you online. But great to have real live people here and good to have you at home as well. So I gave Sue a summary. Sue is my wife, of the passage I was going through today, and said I was really excited to be looking into this passage. And she looked at me and she said, "My theory is that they give you all the difficult passages." I was very defensive of the team here, and I said, "No, they're not like that at all." But no, it's a great privilege to share with you. When I am next with you, this time next month, we'll be meeting with David with the Preach With A View, and I'm really glad I can be with you for that weekend. I will chair those question and answer sessions and all of that. So very much look forward to sharing that weekend with you. Emma said it, but let me remind you, it would be really helpful to have questions put in for those Q&A sessions so that they're lively and good questions. David has been put under a lot of pressure by the leadership team, who've asked him many questions, and I'm sure it will be a lively and worthwhile time with him. But as you pray, do make this very much a matter of prayer. I've walked with you for these last 4 years for the sake of this moment, in a sense, or the moment when you do call somebody to be your minister. Please be very much in prayer. It's not about, actually, is this the minister I would like for myself? That isn't the question. Is he the minister whom God has called to be minister of this church? That's a different question. And we need to be much in prayer together about that. Often when I'm with you, certainly when I'm with you in person, I have something to produce. As you know, I write these Bible notes for Premier, which go out in Voice of Hope. They go out in many different forms. If you would like a physical form, there are copies of this at the door. Do please take one if you're here. If you're online, please do just let me know if you'd like a copy. We can easily send one to you. It's also available on podcast and on the radio, 7:20 every morning, on Premier Christian Radio and on Premier Praise. On podcast, just a matter of interest, I find it interesting. January of last year, 8,000 people downloaded the podcast, which is great, I'm encouraged by that. This January, it was 30,000 people, and Premier just so encouraged by that. And it's lovely to think that God's word is getting out there. So do tune in or read or whatever medium works best for you. So thank you for the title you've given me for a sermon, which is The Heart of the Matter. The Heart of the Matter. I don't know how much you think about your heart. I have to say I've spent the majority of my life not giving it a moment's thought. It just bangs away, does its work, left it to it. But then 6 years ago, I got cellulitis. If you've never had cellulitis, may I assure you, you wouldn't want it. It's not pleasant, and I don't know where it came from, but suddenly I got it, deep bacterial infection in my right leg. I kept quiet about it for a while, and it got a bit too black, and I thought I ought to tell my nurse wife about this, and she said, "The doctor, now." We went to the doctor moments later. The doctor said, "It's an emergency. I can either get a blue light for you, or if the car's outside, you're probably faster. Get to A&E. And when I got to Basingstoke Hospital, my heart was beating, God bless it, at 240 a minute. That is not a good idea, and it can't do it for long, and it wasn't going to do it for long, but they banged the antibiotics in, and within a couple of days, I was right as rain. But at least it made me think about my heart and reflect on it a bit more deeply. In a sense, I was the way we are with life, aren't we? We just accept things the way they are. You know, my heart was fine through the majority of my life, you know, just didn't cause an issue, so why draw attention to it? But suddenly, I had to wake up and realize I need to think about it very carefully, because actually the heart stopped firing in a regular pattern after this incident. It's fine now, but it wasn't for a while. So suddenly I had to think about the heart of the matter. And I suggest in church life it's just the same, actually. We can get into the rhythm of things, and suddenly, with a jolt, we're woken up, and we have to get to the heart of the matter. In many ways, during the last couple of years of COVID, that's where we've been, hasn't it? We've had to wake up to the fact of asking the big questions, you know, why do we do this anyway? You know, what's it all about? The big, big questions. And that's what's happened in this passage, Mark chapter 7, where Jesus is asking big questions of the Jewish leaders. Last time I was here, we were looking at their rules for the Sabbath, elaborate rules for the Sabbath. And Jesus' basic point was, through all these rules, these boring, meticulous rules you've got about the Sabbath, you've actually missed the point. God's given you the Sabbath to be a blessing, and you've made the whole thing just a burdensome thing that nobody would want. And here again in our passage today, we hear that they were concerned about the outward rules, the washing of hands. I mean, it sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? I'm sure many of you are saying, you know, have they used some spray as well? But, you know, washing hands is not a bad thing. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were turning it into a religion by itself. They were saying, all you need to do to get right with God is to do these things. Obey the law and you're right. And Jesus says, it just doesn't work, does it? Because you obey all the rules, but actually your hearts are far from me. Jesus quotes from Isaiah, these people honor me with their lips. You know, religion's fine, doing the right words, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teaching are but rules taught by men. And the absurdity and the destructiveness of the rules was particularly clearly seen in the case of Korban. The Old Testament is absolutely clear. It's one of the Ten Commandments, isn't it? To honor your father and mother. And actually, this is absolutely serious. So serious that it said in the Old Testament law, if you curse your parents, you should be put to death. This is not something to play around with. This is absolutely serious. And yet, what had they done with their clever little rules? They'd come up with this rule called Korban. What you could do, and it sounds good on the surface, is you could take your money and you could hand it over to God. Sounds good, doesn't it? But if you did that, then you didn't have to hand the money over to your parents. You didn't need to support them any longer. It was just ridiculous. That's they'd found by their clever man-made rules a way of defeating God's law. Verse 7, Jesus says, thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have had handed down. And you do many things like that, he says. So it's a general problem. So what Jesus is saying, here's the heart of the problem, is the problem is not outside things. The problem is actually not things which will contaminate your hands. The problem is your heart. What gunk is coming out of your heart? Let me read that extraordinary verse 21. For from within, out of men's and women's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. What he's saying is, with all that stuff churning around inside you, all that wrechied destructiveness within you, it doesn't matter how clean your hands are, it doesn't matter how many songs you sing, it doesn't matter what service you go through, the problem is in your heart. So something's got to be done about your heart. Because of this story I've had with my heart, I do have to keep a watch on it. And this past week, I had to take twice daily blood pressure readings, and they were fine. Thank you. I know your pastoral concern, so they were fine. But it's actually good to keep a check on your heart. And that's what I'm going to do with you in the next few moments. I want to ask some probing questions, and I want to check out how your heart is. Three questions. Here's number one. Because if we can't get these things right, it's rubbish. Christian life cannot work. Here's the first question. Have you been born again? Have you been born again? I want to get right to the heart of the matter. Because, as Jesus said, you can't even start a spiritual life unless you had a spiritual birth. That's how life begins. Just the way it is. That is to say, it is perfectly possible to be part of the life of a church. Perfectly possible to come to services, which is a good thing to do, but it's perfectly possible to come along to services, to sing the songs, hands in air if you like, even pray prayers. You can all do those things without actually having got to the heart of the matter of giving your life to God. God comes to us as individuals. He doesn't come to us as a group deal. He comes to us as individuals. We're all very different from one another, and praise God for that. Fantastic. But he meets with us, and he wants to give us his life as individuals. I've seen some people come to Jesus like that, just suddenly. I've got a very good friend of mine who... his life had just got messed up for all sorts of reasons. He had got into drugs and various forms of abuse, and he just got so confused. He thought there is no point in carrying on, and he had in mind, he knew how he was going to do it, just to end it all. Within that time of his life, somebody came to him and told him God loved him. Couldn't believe it. God loved him. God. Anybody had loved, he'd had lots of relationships and that sort of stuff, but he'd never met anybody who'd solidly, consistently, securely loved him just because he was him and stuck by him. He learned that God loved him. And you talk to Carl about that, and he will tell you not just the year that happened, not just the month, not just the day. He will tell you the exact moment that he opened his life to Jesus. He was born again. Something new came into the world which wasn't there before. And that's the story of some of you. And that's brilliant, brilliant. And, you know, praise God with you. It wasn't my story. My story was being brought up in a Christian home, being very familiar with all these things, and much loved by a church, nurtured and supported by the church, and growing up. And it was a gradual process of coming to know Jesus until moments in my teens when I knew I needed to make it definite, needed to say, Lord, I put my life in your hands. But it was a gradual process through a long period, and my experience is for most people it's more like that. But I want you to hear this question, and because I don't know all of you, I need to ask the question. Have you been born again? I know you're in church, that's brilliant. I know you can sing, brilliant. You know, but it's not what I'm asking you. It's have you been born again? Have you actually handed your life over to God? I will pray a prayer at the end, which would help you if you wanted to make this day the day that you wanted to be born again. It is, in a sense, the deepest thing you can ever do with your life, and it's the simplest thing you could ever do with your life, it's handing over. It's saying, Lord, I know I need you. Need your forgiveness, because I haven't got everything right. Embarrassing. I've got everything right. I need your forgiveness, and I want a new life. I ask you, Lord, in the power of your Spirit, to fill me and give me a new life. That's the prayer. We don't need to make it incredibly complicated. It's just about saying yes to Jesus. So that's my first question, as you check your heart. Have you been born again? Here's the second question. Are you seeking first the kingdom of God? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God? We've all got competing demands on our lives, all of us. We're all in the same place in that. The demands look different, for sure. But we've all got competing demands. Got demands from our families. God bless them all, largely. You know, but we've got demands from the family. We've got demands from our friends. We love our friends. But there are times when they can be extremely demanding because of their needs, and we want to respond. Families, friends, our work. It's right that our work is demanding. God has given us work to do, whether it's paid or unpaid work, employment or things we do in retirement. It's right that we do that work, and it makes demands on us. Our sport, our hobbies, our homes, our church, all sorts of demands are laid upon us. That's just how it is. But the question Jesus is asking is, are we willing to put his kingdom first? It's not for a moment saying the other things are unimportant. Please don't hear me saying, I'm not saying they're unimportant. I'm just saying the most important thing is seeking first the kingdom of God, doing what God would want us to do in all that we do. So in our work, if you are an employed person, part of being part of the kingdom of God is being faithful to your employer, giving them a good day's work. That's all part of it. But as you do your work, you'll want to do it in a kingdom way, through the compassion, through the care, through the thoughtfulness that you show. It will affect everything that you do. When you're talking to your neighbour, you're seeking the kingdom. You say, well, I'm just talking about the roses. Yes, but as you talk about the roses or talk about the fence or whatever you need to talk about, you're seeking the kingdom of God, and so you're looking out for them. You'll find you, and thank you, Julie, so much. That was inspiring, wasn't it, what we heard from Julie? Really, really wonderful. As many of you know, I'm involved in a church in Swindon at the moment, which has some phenomenal work, similarly, out into the community. Amazing. I was talking to the head of our furniture project on Friday. I find this incredible. The furniture project has a vast amount of furniture available to it, largely kept at the Bible Society's base in Swindon. And we get referrals from social services and all the rest and provide people who are basically destitute, because there are people in our world, in Swindon, who are destitute, providing them with a furniture pack, which is normally 6 or 7 items, just basically, you know, chairs, table, freezer, whatever, just basic stuff to get them going. Normally, we supply 30 to 40 people a month. It's a lot of people, but 30 to 40 families are supplied with a furniture pack every month. In the middle of this week, in just 2 days, we supplied 22 people. And Andrew, who heads it up, was just saying, you cannot believe the need that is there. Why are we doing these things? Because it's good for people to have furniture. It is good for people to have, but because it's kingdom work. It's about saying, it's exactly what Julie's been saying. It's about going to people who are lonely and saying, we want to love you. We want to take you out for a cup of coffee. We want to support you. And it may be some way down the track where we say, it's because we're working for the kingdom. That may not be our first sentences, but that's why we're there, caring for people, because that's what Jesus would have us do. Are you seeking first the kingdom of God, whatever you're doing? Nothing can be more exciting, can it? Nothing could be more exciting than to see God's kingdom of light, of truth, of compassion, of justice come to our world. Okay, check up in your heart. Have you been born again? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God? And thirdly this, are you being daily filled with the Holy Spirit? If you've been born again, I'm really delighted. I'd love to hear the story sometimes. Brilliant, fantastic. But I'm also very interested in you being alive today. And in order to be alive in God today, we need to be filled with His Spirit. There's no other way of doing it. It's not another technique you try. You know, it is through being filled with the Spirit that we're able to live in the power of the Spirit and do God's work today. You're alive in your body today for two reasons. One, some years ago, you were born. Okay, all got that in common. But the second reason you're alive today is that you're breathing, which is generally seen to be an encouraging thing to do. Do you know, that's why you're alive today. So I'm asking, are you breathing the breath of the Spirit today? Are you open to the Spirit breathing His life through you? Let me read that fantastic passage in Ephesians 5. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And the Greek is quite clear there. It's not so clear in the English, but it's the sense of keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's continuous. It's not just once in a lifetime, you know, keep you topped up for the rest of your life. No, it's day by day, be filled with the Holy Spirit. My friends, check up on your heart. We can do the outward things. We can do the religious things and come to church. It's good to come to church. It's good to sing hymns and all that. But it's actually your heart that matters. What's actually going on inside? Have you been born again? If you have, great. Are you seeking first the kingdom of God in whatever you do? If you are, that's great. But are you being daily filled with the Holy Spirit? Because you're never going to do it without Him. Never going to do it without Him. Let me lead you in prayer. And we all need to pray these prayers. You know, whoever we are, we need to come to God. But let me pray these prayers that God would bless us. And first, a prayer specifically, if you need to say quietly that you've never been born again, actually. You've been around churches, but you've never been born again. Or perhaps you're listening to this on live stream and you don't know anything about Eastleigh. You just happen to have bumped into this service and you're really welcome. It's lovely to have you. If you've never been born again, pray this with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you that you understand my need. I thank you that you are willing to give me new life. I admit that I have not always made the best decisions in life, and I need your forgiveness. Please set me free. Please send your Holy Spirit to me so that I might live a new life with you. Lord Jesus, thank you for hearing my prayer. And Lord, I come on behalf of all of us to say, Lord, we want to seek first your kingdom. We've got lots on, lots of demands, lots of pressures upon us. But Lord, we pray that through it all, we will seek first your kingdom, that we'll put your agenda at the top of the agenda, that we'll seek those things that you desire, that we'll be seeking to show love and care and compassion and understanding wherever we go, whatever we're doing. Lord, give us strength that we might live in this way. And Lord, we come to you now because we're not strong enough for this by ourselves. We can't do it by ourselves. We need your Spirit. So, Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us now. Come to us in our frailty. Come to us in our weakness. Be our strength. Living Lord, we want to live for you, but we can only do it with your strength. So, Lord, come to us in this day and every day and fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that we're loved by you. Thank you that however far we might have fallen, however much we might have disappointed the people around us and disappointed ourselves and disappointed you, you still love us and you call us back. Lord, hear our prayers, for we bring them in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you get to the heart of the matter, as you reflect on where you are, and as you commit your life into God's hands.